Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last. It's been a long week this week. May 17th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. We are here. It's pleased to join you on this very sad day. I'm pleased we can all be together.
It is, in fact, a solemn occasion. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Are you going to explain to us the sad occasion,
Andrew? I'm too wound up. I'm too emotional.
It is Friday. It's not a fun Friday today. We are very sorry to announce that Grumpy Cat, a.k.a. Tartar Sauce, has passed away. So we're going to pour one out.
It's coffee because it's before noon. But yes.
Not we for me.
Charlotte won't be pouring out coffee.
It's nearly 6 p.m. for me.
Oh, so yes. Charlotte is pouring an actual one out. The rest of us are just pouring out coffee. aside from that very sad news, we have some, I guess this is also kind of sad news at this point. We have some information about Huawei, and I think each of you have talked about this. Now, Charlotte, you have some information about Huawei and their relationship with the UK.
Yeah, so there's a lot of UK politicians and lawmakers who are really concerned about it. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, it leaked out that the government might allow Huawei to build parts of Britain's 5G network. They insisted it would be the non-core parts of the network, but that distinction is largely meaningless when it comes to 5G. And so there was a lot of concern from very senior MPs, including an MP called Tom Tugendhat, who is the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee here, who wrote a very, very strong piece in one of the newspapers over in the UK saying what a bad decision this was. It was that view was echoed by a number of other people. So there are concerns about it here. But we've also had Vodafone say it's switching on its 5G, and that's built on Huawei kit. So kind of events are unfolding and it's unraveling over here in the UK kind of quicker before lawmakers can get a grip on it, perhaps. And of course, the concern with Huawei is that they are essentially an arm of the Chinese state who are used for espionage. Now, Huawei deny that. They say that, you know, they're an independent telecoms company, not to do with the Chinese state at all, but that has never convinced anyone very much.
This is true.
Following all of that, we had yesterday Sir Richard Dearlove, who chaired MI6, which is our kind of secret intelligence service here in the UK. He wrote in a foreword to a think tank's paper that the UK government has to reconsider its decision on Huawei, that he was very concerned about it. He wrote, "The ability to control communications and the data that flows through its channels will be the route to exercise power over societies and other nations." He is not happy that this is a guy who spent his life in security, and British intelligence is deeply concerned about this as well. So there is a move against it here in the UK.
Which makes a certain amount of sense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we haven't seen, in general, we haven't seen anything from Huawei to lead us to believe that they are, that they're being upfront about everything and that they are entering into these agreements in good faith. So, Andrew, what do you have to report on the U.S. relationship with Huawei? Which is also not great. Spoiler alert.
Several days ago, President Trump signed this national emergency to defend American technology. And the implication, of course, is that it was aimed at Huawei. I don't know if this happened yet, but at the time when I was doing my research, it was thought to be preceding a ban for American tech companies so they don't interact with Huawei at all. I don't know if that's actually happened, but right now it's just a national emergency.
Okay. So, in general, this is this is not great, obviously, for Huawei, that a bunch of countries are in some fashion in all these countries, there are people who are trying to make it so that they so that Huawei doesn't get a foothold with whatever hardware they've got. And the thing that I haven't seen a lot yet is Huawei the only game in town? This would be a thing I would want to know. Obviously, we've had, you know, mobile networks and other sorts of data networks before Huawei was a company or before Huawei was ever outside of China. So it should be possible. So I'm curious what the counter proposal would be, you know, if it's not using Huawei's networks and what it is that got Huawei far enough along in the process that these that that these countries have to worry about this as a concern.
So I think the answer is no. In fact, I know for a fact the answer is no. Huawei is not the only game in town, certainly not in the UK. Ericsson and I believe Nokia are also players in this.
Yeah.
Do I mean Nokia? Certainly Ericsson. So, yes, no, they are not the only the game in town.
Okay. Which is good news, because it does mean that for data networks that want to continue to upgrade, that at least they're not stuck, which... is good news. So, so it sounds like, and I know my, I remember reading, I'm not going to say I know because my recollection is kind of fuzzy on this, but there was, I think a lawsuit, was that in the UK, Charlotte? Like suing to make sure that Huawei wasn't able to build the network and then they were being accused of... Somebody was accusing somebody of like unfair competitive practices or something by banning
them. I have indicated that they are being discriminated against. That's a lot of their complaint, isn't it?
Yes.
But a lot of the stuff that's happened in the UK has been through the government process.
Okay.
And I was right, by the way, it is Nokia and Ericsson, as well as Samsung, actually, who are able to build alternative 5G infrastructure.
Which is good. But I'm glad to hear.
Yes. So that there are alternatives. For some reason, Huawei's obviously put in a competitive offer and has attracted people, but it comes with concerns. You know, there are concerns that there are backdoors. There are frankly concerns that Huawei doesn't even care about a backdoor, that the Chinese state will use it as a front door. That, like, that it's just brazen and they don't care. And so it is... This is a really interesting situation whereby you've got politics and tech clashing. States know they have to implement 5G technology. We have to have those networks. I wrote the other day that Vodafone is bringing it to the UK in about two months, basically. It's coming around July, I think, in the UK, in five cities here. This stuff is happening. Phone makers are going to be making 5G compatible phones. So the governments have to find a way of making this infrastructure happen, but also seem to have got themselves backed into a corner over Huawei, that they appear to be the only company they want to work with. And yet, you know, there are these very serious security concerns.
Yeah. In fact, And some of them are legitimate. Dutch security sources apparently found a backdoor.
Yeah, the Dutch. Yesterday, I included that in my story. Actually, the Dutch have highlighted a problem where they found one of their, in their major to one of their major telecoms networks found a Huawei backdoor. So, like this is real. This is not kind of weird espionage fantasy stuff.
Yeah, we think it's possible this might happen. Yeah. No, it's totally happening.
This stuff has happened. This has been found.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I'm not entirely sure that the Chinese state are particularly pretending it's not happening.
No. Seems like they're cool with it.
So do you know what I mean? Like, no one is pretending. This is not some kind of weird dance where everyone's doing, going, we're not doing it, but everyone knows you are. Like, this is what is happening. People know that there is a major security issue with Huawei. We also know we have to, like I said, we also know we have to build this 5G infrastructure.
Right. Huh. So, we will
don't
see.
Don't ask me where we go from here, because I don't have a...
Well, it sort of sounds like we just need to make like the telecom companies that are rolling out these networks just need to make sure that they're making deals with Nokia instead of and Ericsson and Samsung instead of Huawei, and maybe that would help. You know, here's hoping, I guess.
Yeah.
As we have more about this, and it certainly doesn't seem like this is over by any stretch of the imagination, we will definitely let you know more about it. The other thing we wanted to talk about today is sort of a tip and trick sort of thing. Andrew, you made a very interesting Siri shortcuts discovery yesterday.
Yep,
that that I wanted to have you take us through.
Yeah, so basically, I was trying to combine several shortcuts that I have into one, as I called it, one mega shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the way they were set up, just making a new shortcut and including the run shortcut action multiple times didn't work.
Okay.
So the only other alternative was to manually add those actions and, mm-hmm. you know, build this custom shortcut.
Okay.
Which is very painstaking, and it was not something that I was looking forward to.
The word is but tedious.
On Reddit, there is this really helpful shortcuts subreddit, this community, and I find a lot of great stuff in there. And I found this shortcut that lets you copy and paste actions in between shortcuts.
Okay.
And it worked. I was able to do what I achieved. So there is kind of a risk to it. I mean, copying this functionality isn't built into shortcuts by design.
Okay.
So if you use it, there's always this risk that you might end up with a corrupt database. Because several days ago, my database was corrupted. Not anything to do with this shortcut, but I basically had to delete and reinstall the app, and it was fine.
Oh, geez. Okay. So this is the portion of the map that says there be dragons, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now
proceed
that you've
at your own risk, basically.
Now that you've been able to copy and paste all these together, you have a shortcut that does what?
Yeah. So here at the Mac Observer, we have this article category called "Cool Stuff Found," mm-hmm. which is basically what it sounds like. If we find something cool on the internet, we can write a long paragraph about it.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I will write about a cool app.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that process, I need to get the app screenshots, the description, the icon, the URL, because you can't save any of those directly within the App Store.
Right.
Which is frustrating because you can't even copy the description or any text in the App Store. So basically, I made a shortcut that makes my job of writing this up a lot easier. So it automatically grabs the icon, the app URL, it copies the URL to the clipboard, it gives me the app screenshots, and then there's an action where I can choose those screenshots, combine them, format them, save them to iCloud,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this shortcut I found at Mac Stories that will add the app price and description to a Trello card.
Okay.
So with one tap, I can do all of these things at once, so it's pretty awesome.
That's pretty great. And this just, again, this sort of ties back to what we talked about before when you were on and we were discussing shortcuts, is that there are a lot of things that can be automated. And if you take a moment and invest a little time on the front end in making something like that happen, it will pay off later. So I don't know how much time you spent building this particular shortcut, Andrew, but you know how long how much time it's saving you every time you get to use it. And so you probably know, like, after I've written four of these, like, it's paid for itself, basically, or however many, you know, whatever that number is. So this is where a lot of automation comes in. This is part of why I wanted to talk about it, is because automation is super awesome in a bunch of ways. And one of those ways is, like, the text substitutions, or if you use an app like Text Expander, mm-hmm. text substitutions make it so that you can feed your email address to a form or enter your shipping information easily, like if you're using the autofill stuff in Safari. taking a moment to set those things up. That way you know that you typed it correctly, or you got your address, you know, you set your address up once and spent extra time to make sure it was correct in that one instance, and you don't have to do it anymore, and you know it's right. You know, making sure your email address is accurate on different things, and having, like, what I always look for, I have a personal one for my productivity stuff, and that's the eye roll rule. If I'm doing something and it makes me roll my eyes that I have to do it again, then I start looking for a way to automate it.
So, that's good.
Like, I have to fill out this form again. I do, but there might be a better way to do it. So when it gets to, like, sigh deeply and roll my eyes level of irritation with this thing that I have to do often, then I start looking for, is there a text substitution I can use, or some other sort of automation, or a little bit of scripting, or, you know, something in shortcuts that I can do that will make this something that I don't have to spend as much time doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, and every time I will say 99% of the time, spending 5 minutes, like, I've set timers to do this, spending 5 minutes Googling around and looking for whatever, like, a better way to fill out a web form or a better way to whatever. I always find a couple of solutions, and at least one of them is usually something that helps me save a little bit of time. And even just setting the timer, like, I spent 5 minutes and then I spent maybe 5 minutes setting it up, and that 10 minutes is going to continue to pay back forever. So it's a thing you should definitely think about. Like, the whole point of, you know, computing and all of that is it's supposed to make our lives easier. And some of that stuff goes into, like, filling out forms and, you know, doing some of this work for you. Like, you know, for you, it sounds like a lot of copy and pasting that's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, copy, switch, paste, switch back, copy, switch, paste, switch back, copy, switch, paste. Like, that gets tedious in a hurry. And so finding a way to do some of that a little more efficiently is always pretty great. I still haven't spent a bunch of time with shortcuts, but I'm definitely going to have to after you talked about this yesterday. I was like, I need to spend some time in shortcuts.
Oh, yeah. Like, right now, I think I'm up to about 50 shortcuts.
Oh, my gosh.
And plus, you know, using shortcuts.
Andrew loves shortcuts.
I do. And for, like, a moment, I feel like such a elite programmer when I run them.
No, it's fantastic. I have a couple of scripting things that I use in order to get the podcast published each day. And there's a couple of those that I use that it's just it's a Python script and some text substitution. And transformation, I mean. And doing that, every time I do that, every day, it makes me smile just a little bit because I don't have to do what you were doing. You know, copy, switch, paste, copy, yep. Switch, paste, copy, switch, paste. I don't have to do that. And so it's really awesome to be able to save that time and go, this is a thing and it works. And it saves me all of that copy and paste gyration that I was doing before. So, yeah, stay tuned for the latest Mac Observer podcast where Andrew talks to you all about shortcuts. If you have shortcuts that you are using, whether they're within the shortcuts app or you still have something that you're using from workflow, or you've got, like, this really amazing Apple script that makes some sort of magic happen on your Mac, we want to hear about it because we also really like featuring stuff that comes from our listeners and from our readers. So you can send that
also,
stuff to...
Also, we want to use a...
What?
Also, I just want to steal it as well.
Charlotte is looking for shortcut inspiration. So if you
make
have
my life easier, people, come on now.
Yeah. So if if you have a shortcut that might make Charlotte's life easier, she's got ear out for that inspo. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And we would love to hear it. I will have a link to that shortcuts subreddit in the show notes so that if you want to go check it out and see what else is out there, maybe you'll gain some inspiration from that as well. I know that for me, I like finding out what other people's shortcuts are, what they look like, because finding out that that's something that is possible is that, like, when I see somebody else doing something like that, then I can see, like, oh, I can see how that could apply to my workflow. And then, you know, go off and build something cool to make that happen. So very nice. So like I said, we will feature more shortcuts on the site. We will feature them on the show, and we definitely want to talk to you. And I'm actually only sort of kidding about Andrew starting a Shortcuts podcast. We have to end this show so that I can go pitch him on how he should be doing another one on his own. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll stop keeping you from your weekend.
Not at all. I'm off to pour one out for Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, so Charlotte has plans later. And and Andrew, thanks for coming by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. And all our listeners, have a great weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. Have an awesome weekend, and in the meantime, be excellent to each other.